week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Tokyo, where Japan defeated Russia Friday 30-10 in the opening match of the Rugby World Cup. South Africa-born right-winger Kataro Matsumisha claimed three of the home team's four tries to earn himself the honor of scoring the first hat trick by any Japanese player at a World Cup. For our VOA rugby fans keeping score, the 26-year-old Matsumisha was born in Pretoria, South Africa, to a Japanese mother and a Zimbabwean father. He attended a high school in Yokohama, Japan, where the Rugby World Cup final will be played November 2nd. While the Russians lost the match, they can take pride in their performance. So says Russia's captain, Vasily Artemyev.
We've done everything we practiced. I think huge effort from all the players today, tonight. And I think you could see throughout the game that we were in the battle, that we were playing our game plan. A few penalties, a couple of missed opportunities. I think that was the difference at the end. But thank you very much for the crowd today. We could hear our own support, and obviously we could hear the Japanese support. So, спасибо большое всем, кто пришел. Спасибо, мы вас слышали. Спасибо огромное за поддержку. Everyone could see that we were playing at the same intensity as Japan. We were pushing them to the edges. We were getting some dividends. Maybe we could have scored a couple more penalties if we went for it. But we chose to apply the pressure through set piece. Unfortunately, we didn't get the result we wanted. But again, huge effort for our players. And arigato gozaimasu to Japan for the great performance.
Before the Japan-Russia match, Japanese and Russian fans sang songs at a Tokyo restaurant and talked about rugby bringing people together.
Of course, it's a big festival of rugby, and in Moscow, in any place. I believe it's absolutely the same for rugby, anywhere, where we go. And, of course, World Cup is a special opportunity. There are several guys from Japan who played for Dragons 7 or 8 years ago. They organized a dinner to meet Russian friends. Maybe some of us have never met them in Russia. They joined rugby later. But in any case, it's a part of family.
When I started looking for this rugby club, that's how I found Moscow Dragons. And Vicky was together playing.
Yeah, at the time.
Yes. Yeah. And this all guys here, we played with or against. So it just unites people.
The Rugby World Cup continues on Saturday when there's a marquee Pool B match between tournament favorites New Zealand and South Africa in Yokohama, Japan. The All Blacks of New Zealand are bidding for their third consecutive world title and fourth overall. And the Springboks of South Africa have lifted the trophy twice in 1995 and 2007. On Friday in Yokohama, New Zealand's head coach, Steve Hansen, said as many as six teams could win the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
They're always competitive, I think. You know, it always makes me chuckle when I hear people say, "Oh, this team can't win, and this team's going to win." And you know, right now, you've got a number of sides that are capable of winning it because they've got the talent in their group. But you know, with that comes higher expectations, and with higher expectations comes more pressure. And if you don't deal with that pressure, then it'll overwhelm you. So. That's the big thing, I think. Who's going to cope with that the best? Who's, as I said before, who's going to deal with the good luck and the bad luck they get and how well they deal with it? And you know, at the end of the day, like all of the tournaments, I think anyone could have won them. But there's probably more in this tournament than normal. You know, probably the last one there was two or three. This one there's probably five or six, which is great for rugby. That's what we want.
That's Steve Hansen, the head coach of the All Blacks of New Zealand, who are aiming for a third consecutive Rugby World Cup championship. The All Blacks will battle the two-time world champion Springboks of South Africa on Saturday in Yokohama, Japan. And Coach Hansen spoke Friday in Yokohama. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Despite dominating at world championships, Nigeria's Paralympic athletes have a hard time representing the country. They complain of low payments, lack of proper training facilities, and being treated as second-class athletes compared to their able-bodied counterparts who win fewer medals for their country. But a new sports ministry is promising better treatment for Nigeria's Paralympic athletes. Timothy Obiezu tells us more from Abuja.
Abdulaziz Ibrahim, who's known as Nigeria's para powerlifting champion, is training hard for the powerlifting competition of the Paralympic Games next year in Japan. In 2016, he was part of the disabled team that won medals for Nigeria at the Rio Paralympic Games. Despite dominating world championships, Abdulaziz says the performances of Nigeria's Paralympic athletes are a result of their personal sacrifices and fighting spirits.
So I'm a champion, but when you see me along the road, I'm not looking like a champion. But if you go to abroad, you see the champion, see they are disabled. If you see their life, see their cars, it's different. But every day we always make Nigeria proud. I don't make us proud. Why?
Nigerian Paralympians complain they get less funding than their able-bodied counterparts who win fewer medals and are treated like second-class athletes. Queen Ubo is the president of Nigeria's Para Powerlifting Federation.
If they can give 10% of the attention they give to soccer, as they call it football over here, to para powerlifting or parasport, I think the sky will be our beginning.
Nigerians Paralympians lack proper training facilities too. At an under-equipped facility in Abuja, para-athletes like Abdulaziz say they are making do training for the Olympic Games with what's available. But a new sports minister, Sunday Akindari, who took over the sports ministry a few months back, is promising to address their issues.
I think what you do for this country, in spite of the circumstances, is very commendable. We invest so much in the able-bodied sportsmen and women. I think we should invest equally in the Paralympics.
Nigeria's Paralympic team won all four gold medals in the powerlifting category at the Commonwealth Games, followed by Malaysia and India. While Abdulaziz and his fellow athletes don't have much to show for their wins, they are hanging on a hope that things will get better. Timothy Obiezu for VOA News, Abuja.
Thanks, Timothy. Joining us now from Abuja with more African sports news is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. The Egyptian Football Association has appointed former Al Ahly player and coach Hassam El Badri as Egypt's national team manager. The 59-year-old will succeed Mexican coach Javier Aguirre, who was sacked last July following the Pharaohs' shock elimination from the 2019 African Cup of Nations round of 16 held at home. El Badri is the first Egyptian coach in Egypt's hot seat in 4 years, following Argentine tactician Hector Cooper, who reigned from 2015 to 2018, and Aguirre, who was in charge from 2018 to 2019. Elsewhere in Madagascar, Frenchman Nicolas Dupuis has signed a new 4-year deal as coach of Madagascar but still continue his dual role with French lower league club AS Felouy 91. The 51-year-old Dupuis led Madagascar to their first ever African Cup of Nations finals in Egypt this year, where they stunned the continent with their run all the way to the quarterfinals. Staying with football news, Moroccan club Wydad Casablanca has launched a new appeal with the Court of Arbitration for Sport over the decision to declare Esperance the winners of their CAF Champions League final last season. The latest move by Wydad is challenging the decision by the Confederation of African Football Commission last month to award Tunisian side Esperance the title. You will recall the Wydad Casablanca players stormed off an hour into the return leg in Tunis on May 31st after a VAR malfunction meant a disallowed equalizer could not be reviewed. CAF had called for the second leg to be replayed at a neutral venue, but that decision was later overruled by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. Senegal remained the top-ranked African team on the continent, with African champions Algeria still fourth in the continental rankings and 18 places behind in the latest FIFA pool of men's national teams released for the month of September. The new monthly rankings released by World Football Governing Body on Thursday has Senegal in 20th place, Tunisia in the 29th, Nigeria in the 34th, and Algeria in the 38th spot, with Morocco just one place behind the current winners of the African Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. In athletics news, Jacqueline Wambui, who won the 800 meters at the Kenyan trials, and Linda Kahiga, who was in the mixed relay team, have withdrawn from the World Championships after failing to take mandatory testosterone level tests. Athletics Kenya vice president in charge of competitions, Paul Mutui, said Wambui and Kahiga had declined the mandatory test and withdrew from the Global Showpiece event in Doha. Wambui's withdrawal left 2013 world champion Eunice Som as Kenya's only entrant in the women's 800 meters event. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up!
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week, right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. This Voice of America history note, Music Time in Africa is the VOA's longest-running English language program. The late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian founded the award-winning show in 1965. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Spanish star Rafael Nadal and Swiss ace Roger Federer are headlining this weekend's third edition of the Laver Cup team tournament in Geneva. Rafa won his 19th major title earlier this month at the U.S. Open in New York. That puts Rafa one behind Federer's record 20 titles for men's players. Rafa and Roger will also compete in a new tennis competition early next year, as we hear now from my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson.
The ATP Tour is starting a new tradition in Australia, where six groups of four teams of the world's top male tennis players will play matches in Brisbane, Perth, and Sydney over 6 days at the beginning of January. It's the Australia-based ATP Cup, and the draw was just held at the Sydney Opera House. The ATP said all top 10 ranked players, including Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, and Roger Federer, have committed to play in the inaugural competition ahead of the 2020 Australian Open. Eight countries will then play at the ATP Cup Final 8 in Sydney that will feature quarterfinals over 2 days, semifinals, and a final. Each match will be two singles and one doubles. The three most recognizable names in men's tennis have been split between the three venues. Brisbane will host Novak Djokovic's number one ranked Serbia team, along with France, South Africa, and a qualifying nation. Kevin Anderson will play for South Africa.
Coming from South Africa has had its fair share of challenges, especially in terms of pursuing professional tennis. Unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of tournaments in that part of the world, and there's a lot of travel, so it's pretty difficult to get back. But you have to dream big. You have to really believe in yourself. I've taken a lot of pride in being hopefully a good role model for a lot of kids in South Africa, not just tennis players, but anybody pursuing their ambition. I've really tried to encourage that.
Canada, featuring Milos Raonic, also plays in Brisbane. He's looking forward to the new team event.
Especially growing up in North America around mostly team sports is such a dear feeling for me, and it takes a lot of pride and a lot of emotion from me, and I'm really always grateful for it, especially when we can succeed and when we can find ways to win.
Host Australia will play its group stage matches in Brisbane, with Nick Kyrgios playing at the same venue where he claimed his first home soil ATP tournament victory in 2018.
To be a part of a team event like that, going up against the top players in the world for their countries, it's a special moment. I think the sport of tennis definitely needs more of a team environment type of feel, and I think this is going to be super exciting. You know, when I go out on center court these days, I don't have too many nerves. I just go out there and have fun and do my thing and try and put on a show for the crowd. You know, at the end of the day, sport is entertainment, and I like to go out there and be original and be genuine, and hopefully the crowd enjoys it. But that's my ultimate goal when I go out there now.
Perth will welcome Spain and Rafael Nadal, where the recently crowned U.S. Open champion will play for the first time in his career. Rising star Daniil Medvedev will represent Russia.
Playing for your country, trying to win it is already a big thing in tennis. For sure, it's not going to be easy for Russian fans to go to Australia, but hopefully there will be some guys either living there or coming to watch us, and I think it's going to be really fun, and looking forward to it.
Marin Cilic will take the court in Sydney, where Croatia begins its campaign.
I love to play for my country, and I love to represent my country. And, you know, I feel that it's in Croatians' blood to play well in sports, especially that are involved with the ball, any kind of ball. We love it, and we are all really, really competitive. And I feel that because of that, we're producing great results, small nations with so many great athletes.
Fans from Argentina will be watching Diego Schwartzman.
Well, Argentina is a crazy country. You know about the sports. Every single people, it's loving every sport. And when the sport people, it's representing Argentina with our colors, with our flag, it's really important for us.
Andy Murray's Great Britain and Belgium will share group play with Roger Federer and his Swiss team.
We love our sports, winter sports, summer sports. There is a national sports that they really have been very supportive of. You know, the original mindset in Switzerland is, of course, education always goes first. And it was the same that my parents also taught me. But I do believe it's starting to happen more and more that people actually do believe that also sports can be a future and a career and a path. And I hope through what I do on a tennis court, and I show them, maybe also I lead the way a little bit, that's also going to be helpful for a next generation of superstar athletes from Switzerland.
The ATP Cup will replace the male competitions at the Brisbane International and Sydney International, with both of those tournaments continuing as women-only events. The mixed Hopman Cup tournament, played in Perth since 1989, will not continue. Five additional countries will also compete at the 24-country Australia-based ATP Cup tournament, with qualification based on the ranking of their number one singles player at the time of the second entry deadline. That's on November 13th.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In Women's National Basketball Association playoff action Thursday night, the top-seeded Washington Mystics and the Connecticut Sun both posted victories at home to take two games to none leads in their best-of-five semifinal series. The Mystics beat the Las Vegas Aces 103-91. Washington's Belgian forward Emma Mieseman matched her career high with 30 points, and the Sun routed the Los Angeles Sparks 94-68. Jonquel Jones, who was from the Bahamas, led Connecticut with 27 points. Before the Mystics won here in Washington, their star forward, Elena Delladon, was presented with her second WNBA Most Valuable Player Award. The 30-year-old Delladon also won an Olympic gold medal at the 2016 Rio Olympics, and she's expected to be a key player for the USA's women's basketball team at the 2020 Tokyo Games. Team USA has dominated Olympic women's basketball and will be aiming for its seventh consecutive gold medal in Tokyo. Meanwhile, six African women's basketball teams are still in contention for an Olympic berth. They are Nigeria, Senegal, Mali, Mozambique, Angola, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. They will continue their qualifying competition in mid-November. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Nigeria's assistant coach, Peter Amedu.
It's a new innovation by the FIBA, and FIBA felt in the previous years that Africa has not been presenting its best team, and that means has not been playing more games. So they came out that it's not about winning Afro Championship for you to qualify for the Olympic. So there are going to be like two or three windows for the African teams to be able to play and give them more game, got more exposure, and be able to get the best in Africa to represent Africa in the Olympic. The first phase is going to be the comprised of the six best teams from the Afro Basket. Senegal is hosting again, and that's going to be in November. And after that, then we're going to check the other countries that are going to eventually host again. From the sixth pool, four is going to qualify again to go to the second round. And then from the second round, two is going to qualify to go to Europe to be on the same group with any of the European team that they are going to match, and the draw from the Olympic qualifier will be done, and then that will take us to the next level of the championship, which is the Olympic.
It appears that this process is going to be tough and cumbersome. How prepared is Nigeria's female national team, also known as the Tigress, for this gruesome process to qualify for the Olympic Games?
First, I will appreciate the Federation and also to the president of the Nigerian Basketball Federation, president of President Musa Kida. He has been a tremendous help to Nigerian basketball, and the system he puts on has actually given all the teams, both the female and the male team, a conducive atmosphere to prepare towards every championship. Nevertheless, we are only believing in FIBA for the windows that are going to be thrown open, and we hope at the time the window will be thrown open, we are eventually going to have our best player come back home for this Olympic qualifier, which Nigeria is fully prepared.
Are you in touch with your players, both those that are based at home and those that are based abroad? Are you monitoring their play, their game, to see if they are informed to contest for these Olympic qualifying matches?
Yeah, that we have been in touch. There's no doubt about that. Personally, officially, trying to know how they are doing and how they are also coping their new clubs, because some of them have gotten the new clubs and some have changed clubs. So like yesterday, I was on phone with Palace, one of the female players that could not actually make it to the Afro. I was concerned, and from what I saw in her game, she's pretty doing well. I'm sure at the time she comes back home, it will give you a good account of herself. So all the other players, we are always in touch with the head coach, Coach Otis, and with all the clubs, all the players that are playing, to be able to show when they are playing and how they are doing. We also communicate with our coaches also to be able to tell us how the players are actually doing. So in that, we appreciate the Federation, because that has given us a mandate and a concern to make sure that we are always in touch with our players.
That's Peter Amedu, the assistant coach of Nigeria's national women's basketball team, nicknamed the Tigress. He spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. The Tigress won their second consecutive women's Afro basket title and fourth overall last month when they beat host Senegal 60-55 in the final. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Nigeria's 27-year-old point guard, Ezina Kalu, who was named the most valuable player at the 2019 Women's Afro Basket Tournament in Senegal. And that wraps up the September 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you! you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free, Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Host Carol Castiel and VOA African Division journalist Salim Solomon talk with Jack Goldstone, co-editor of Political Demography, How Population Changes Are Reshaping International Security and National Politics, about how migration and other demographic shifts affect the politics, economics, and social fabric of the countries and the global order. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Press Conference USA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers using the National Science Foundation's Green Bank Radio Telescope say they discovered a neutron star that is the most massive ever detected. The researchers found that this neutron star packs a mass 2.17 times that of our Sun into a sphere that's a mere 30 kilometers in diameter. According to the researchers, this newly discovered neutron star is so heavy that if it had just a little more mass, it could have instead formed a black hole. Neutron stars are composed of the highly compressed remains of a giant star that exploded in a Type II supernova. This new discovery is also considered a pulsar, since observers here on Earth can detect the powerful beams of energy they emit from their magnetic poles. This neutron star spins so quickly that it would only take a couple of milliseconds for a full rotation. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The mostly peaceful Hong Kong pro-democracy protests have not abated since they started in June. Carol Castiel discusses with Ashley Feng, research associate at the Center for a New American Security, and Matt Schrader, China analyst at the Alliance for Securing Democracy, what the United States and other Western countries should do to defend the protesters in the face of Beijing's flouting of international law. Listen this Saturday and Sunday on Encounter.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.